up.
So this is utopia. It is.
Nice background music. People would never think that we're way up on a mountainside and there's a village way below. But one surprising experience for me is I visited the big center of Roman Catholicism, the Vatican. So there I am in this big, huge cathedral, and I studied it in art history classes, like the Bernini altar and all these things. And all of that was quite beautiful, but what really struck me about the place was the fact that it was probably one of the largest rooms I'd ever been in, and had this beautiful, beautiful ambience because of all the voices that were circulating in the room. And so anytime I think of the Vatican now and that big cathedral, I think of just that beautiful ambient wash of really distant whispered voices everywhere as they're experiencing the cathedral, and also the sound of footsteps on the marble floors that all turn into this beautiful bloom in the cathedral.
The woman and the men dreamed that God was dreaming about them. God was singing and clacking his maracas as he dreamed his dreams.
God was singing and clacking his maracas
as
he dreamed his dream in a cloud of tobacco smoke.
Feeling happy, feeling shaken by doubt. The Makiditare Indians know that if God dreams about eating, he gives fertility and food. If God dreams about life, he's born and gives birth. In their dream about God's dream, the woman and the men were inside a great shining egg. Because they were great and reborn, and kicking up a fuss.
Singing and dancing and kicking up a fuss, because they were crazy to be born. In God's dream, happiness was stronger than doubt and mystery. So dreaming, God created them with a song. I break this egg, and the woman is born, and the man is born.
They will be born
and together
again.
They will live
they will
and, die.
Born and die.
By
again.
They will be born again.
Be born
they
again.
Will be born and born die again.
They will never stop being born.
They will never
because
stop
death
being born.
Is a lie.
They will
never stop being born.
It's a lie.
Because death is a lie.
Thank you.
Well, it's a lot of this kind of triggering of memory and place to a record. So you'll hear a record and you go, oh, that means that, I heard that there. And I kind of find it fake or artificial or not a true sound. It's sort of it's manufactured, but you kind of heard it in the location. It kind of doesn't... I question the validity of it.
What about that thing where people say they're paying our song? So that's something else I was...
Just corny. Like, it's sort of like, you know, let's go down memory lane. You know, that sort of phrases and stuff. I find it really vacuous. If it's a real... You know, it's something to do with filmmaking in the documentary form. If it's a real situation and you kind of... You know, you experience a real sound that's there pre-existing. It's not related to recorded sound from a radio or a gramophone or a record or CD player. There's a kind of more integrity in the memory for me than using a recorded piece to trigger your own kind of reverie of a place. I don't know, it just seems kind of vacuous. It's a terrible word, anyway. I don't know how to describe it, but I try to avoid, you know, triggering of... I mean, it's an obvious thing that happens to people. It's kind of universal, but it sort of doesn't kind of have a rigor to it, that sound, that recorded sound. Whereas if you have your own, if you hear a noise on it, apparently, like the bushfires, there's this roar, which is real, you know, like, and there are real sounds that kind of embed within it, perhaps, in a ununique way, and trigger sometimes something.
Experience are very closely connected. I'm sort of traveling in my mind right now into my travels, going back to my own home environment in Germany, going to India, going to Brazil, going to some European places, church bells. I mean, I guess I've always thought more of the sense of association rather than memory. Let's take the example of church bells, which I grew up with. And church bells were around me all the time as a child. And you hear them at a distance, close by, and you hear the way the wind plays with these church bells and the way they arrive in your ear. And when I grew up, I was really not all that aware of them. I mean, I would never pinpoint them as a favorite sound as a child or a young person. I had a father who would do a lot of that pinpointing sometimes and say, aren't they beautiful and all that. And then I immigrated. And then I began to notice that I missed them. And the moment when I noticed that I missed them was when I began to hear the boat horns in the harbor of Vancouver. Boat horns, fog horns, train horns that are very, very beautiful. And to me, they were the sort of prototypical signal sounds or sounds of Vancouver that had the same power, musical environmental power as the church bells in Germany. And so the sound of the horns brought me back to the sounds of the church bells that I had missed in Canada. When I then come back to Germany, my ears were alerted doubly to those sounds, and I began to remember them at that moment. I would actually remember childhood occurrences, and also wondering why wasn't I aware? As a child, you just kind of take it all in, right? And so I then began to really listen very carefully to the sounds and record them, of course, as well.
Something which is not visual but more like a sound, and what comes to my mind is, for example, walking on leaves, but these leaves were like chestnut leaves, and they were already quite dry and had formed a pack of very packed layers of chestnut leaves, and they were undisturbed. And I was a child walking on a lane of a park called Primrose Hill. So I remember walking on it and wanting to disturb precisely the whole mat of leaves. And the only way that I found to do it was to kick the leaves. And every time I kicked it, you would have like both a crushing sound and the sound of my foot moving the leaves. And there on, I started to play a little bit with the rhythm, because I heard that basically I received a sound back. So as you walked faster and hit the leaves more, you would get like a more repetitive lever sound. But at the same time, if you walked on them, you would have another like crushing sound, very different.
Bueno, los sonidos que a mí más me gustan de la ciudad son el sonido del metro, el metro Tlalpan, no, del metro, la línea azul que va sobre Tlalpan. Ese es un sonido que siempre recuerdo mucho, quizá porque estudié en el centro. Con otro sonido que me parece muy, muy característico de la ciudad son los concheros. Y como decía Mariana hace rato, depende dónde, en qué barrio estés, pero siempre hay una iglesia, y si pones atención las campanas de las misas, siempre como te dicen, te recuerdan que es o la mañana o la tarde. Un sonido a mí nostálgico son los aviones en la noche. No, es muy raro porque yo no escucho, los aviones no es algo que escuche en el día. Siempre les pongo más atención en la noche, a lo mejor es porque está más silencioso. Y bueno, un sonido que ya no sé si hasta lo inventé o no, es de unos multifamiliares. Bueno, era un puente, cuando pasaban los carros hacía un eco muy raro, que existían los multifamiliares Juárez, donde ahora está el centro médico, pero que se cayeron con el terremoto. Entonces había unos edificios, eran unas torres, y los autos pasaban por abajo de los edificios. Entonces hacía un eco que a mí al menos me gustaba mucho. ¿Y qué otros sonidos me gustan? Me gusta mucho el del agua. Cuando van, pero casi ya no lo escucho más. Ahora me pasa que de grande hay muchos sonidos que empiezo a ver que se confunden, o los oigo igual, como el del gas, el del agua, ya no distingo cuál es cuál, pero de niña sí creo que estaban más diferenciados. Me gusta el sonido de las taquerías, del cuando están cortando las carnes. Eso me parece rarísimo. Y déjame pensar más.
Thank you.
And if we take that bell example a bit further, then when you go to other cultures and other countries, like India is one of my good examples, the use of the bells there is so completely different in the temples. You walk in there and you tap on them, and you are the activator of the bell to announce your arrival to the gods, and that you are ready to, you wake them up, you wake up the gods, and you are ready to worship, and so please, whatever god is in that temple, come and join me. That's the function of the temple bell there in the Hindu religion. And it again had this amazing connection back to the church bells in Germany, where they call the congregation, God calls us to join him to come into the church. And to me that was a very funny memory at that point, because it just gave that huge example of difference of the way the religions function, the much more authoritative religion of Christianity and the Hindu, very democratic, multi-god religion, almost like temples are often like community centers almost, you know, they're very, very human, gods are very human. So it stretched the perception of the memory of the bell there into a whole other cultural issue, cultural religious issue, which is of course is wonderful when you travel. And I think, you know, these kinds of memory association issues come up very strongly when you travel or immigrate, you know. I'm sure I have all sorts of memories of daily life in Vancouver or my daily life from when I grew up, but the things that really stick with you are when you go through transition as a traveler or again as an immigrant.
Thank you.